teaches about different things. And tonight I want to teach on a subject that is there's very much confusion about this. And that is the doctrine of eternal security. What does the Bible say about eternal security? Now, I've mentioned this before, but there's two words the Bible uses, and they are used synonymously, but they also have different definitions. And those two are eternal and everlasting. Eternal means without interruption. That's what it means. That's a definition. Continuing without interruption. That is a dictionary definition. And everlasting, the definition of that is, at least one of them, is lasting forever. So this eternal, everlasting life that someone gets when they repent of their sins and trust Christ as their Savior is a life that is going to be without interruption, and it's going to last forever. In other words, when you die, there's not going to be a period of interruption in that life. You are going to take your last breath down here at some point, and your next one, if you're a child of God, will be on the other side. Now, if you're not, if you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, your next breath will not be that direction, but it'll be that direction there. Okay, so you continue right on living, all right? And so we want to see what the Bible teaches. Not long ago, I gave you the acrostic for Baptist. I could go ahead and add an S on there and make it Baptists, plural, and that S would be for the security of the believer, because that has always been a distinctive of the group that we call Baptist today. And again, the history, they hadn't always been called Baptist, but that this group that we call Baptist today have always believed in the security of the believer. And there are a lot of people that don't believe that. And I've talked to them. Now, I guarantee you, there'll be people you'll talk to in this town. If you talk to them and you ask them if they were to die today, do they know for sure they're going to heaven? They wouldn't be able to tell you positively, 100%, that they are, even though they have trusted Christ as their Savior, because they're confused on this doctrine. And there is a lot of confusion about it. And, of course, that confusion does not come from the Lord. The book of 1 Corinthians says this: God is not the author of what? Confusion. So if he's not, who is? It's the devil. You know, I can just see that the devil would use that doctrine, and I know he does, but I can see how he uses that false teaching of not believing in eternal security just to keep people in a mess their whole life. My wife really battled with that for a long time about whether she was really saved or not, because she got saved when she was a child, and she had a battle with that for a while and got that settled long, long time ago. But there are a lot of people that have a battle with this thing of eternal security. And I have talked to people and known people that they've said, "Preacher, I don't know whether I'm saved or not." And then you go through the plan of salvation and say, "Well, have you done this? Yes. Have you done this? Yes. Have the best you know how? Did you repent of your sins? Yes. Did you trust Jesus Christ as your Savior? You ask him to come in your heart and save you? Yes. Well, then do you know for sure you're going to heaven? No." And they're not being a smart aleck. They just don't understand. And what we have to do is we have to understand that there are no contradictions in this book. Now, the Bible says in Psalms 19:7, if you want to turn over there, Psalms 19:7, we need to establish the fact that the Word of God has no contradictions. And you really have to understand this. And I think most of us do, but Psalms 19:7 says, "The law of the Lord is perfect." Now, we know that this book is the law of the Lord. The Bible is a perfect book. The Bible is given by inspiration of God. It has no contradictions in it. And we've talked about some of these things here in our services, but there are verses that look like they contradict each other. But what we have to understand is there are no contradictions in the Bible. So if one looks like it says one thing and another one looks like it contradicts that, we have to study to find out what the answer to that is. And we have looked at some of these things in Acts. that people use as contradictions. And we have found out that they're not a contradiction at all. Okay? And there are some verses in the Bible that if you just took those verses all by themselves, it would probably cause you some confusion in this area of eternal security. But there are numbers of other verses where it is clearly taught. I mean, clearly, clearly taught. And so what we have to understand is those few verses that might look like they would be confusing, we have to look at those verses in light of all the rest. And obviously these verses are not teaching that you can lose your salvation when all these other ones teach that you can't for sure. So that means there's got to be an explanation for those. That means there's got to be something else that the Word of God is teaching us, okay? And you've got to start with that. Because if you don't, you're going to be mixed up about things. And again, you can take different scriptures and you can twist those around and pervert those scriptures. And you can make the Bible say just about anything you want it to say. And try to justify those things that you believe. But that's not how it works. We don't come up with some belief or idea and then try to find a verse that would go along with that. And if we can't find one, we change it so it will. We take the Bible literally. We take the Bible at face value. And we line up what we believe according to what the Bible says. That's what we're supposed to do. Now, I know a lot of people don't do that. But that's what we're supposed to do. So, the Bible clearly states that the believer is secure in Jesus Christ. And we're going to look at a lot of verses tonight because that's where we're going to find out whether we're eternally secure or not in the Word of God. My opinion doesn't matter. It's what the Bible says that matters. And I believe that I am secure in Christ, and I think the Bible clearly teaches that. So let's just look here and let's have a word of prayer first. Father, we pray as we look at this important doctrine that you'll convince us, Lord, that we are eternally secure when we trust Jesus Christ as our Savior. And I pray, Lord, if anybody has doubts about that tonight, you'll help them with that. And I pray, Lord, that you will convince us through your word of this important doctrine. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's start off with John chapter number 10. John chapter number 10. We're actually going to go back to John chapter number 1 in a minute. But let's just start off with this. John 10, 28 through 30. And let me just encourage you to memorize some of these verses. Memorize at least where they're found. You might not know the whole verse by memory, but memorize where they're found. Because as we present the plan of salvation, and this is a very important thing to do, if you have the privilege of ever leading somebody to Christ, of course you teach them that they're a sinner, that's number one, and there's a penalty for sin, that's number two. But God loved you so much that he sent Jesus Christ and he already paid the penalty, the price for the penalty. That's number three. And that number four, if you'll repent of your sins and invite Christ to come in your heart, he'll save you and take you to heaven when you die. A lot of folks stop right there. But that's not the end of the story. Point number five is give them verses of assurance. Because when we leave, boy, I've seen this happen lots of times. The devil's going to move in. And he's going to tell those people, you know, he's going to get on their shoulder and say things like, you mean to say that you've lived all that wicked life and just because somebody says pray a prayer, you prayed it, now you're going to heaven when you die? Well, he's going to come in there, and if they really meant it, then he's going to try to confuse them. But if we will give them verses to assure them from the Word of God that what they did resulted in them having everlasting life, then that's not going to work. That plan of the devil is not going to work or be as effective as it would be if we don't give them these verses of assurance. So these are verses that I always use right here with people all the time when I lead somebody to the Lord. John chapter 10, verse 27. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life. Again, that means life that continues without interruption. And they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my hand. I and my Father are one. Now, those verses right there, if there were no other verses in the whole Bible that taught eternal security, those are sufficient right there. And here's what I do. Now, this is a fickle illustration. I understand that. But it is an illustration, and it does help people understand this thing about salvation. I always take my pen and say, let's use this pen as you. Okay? And the Bible says there, as an illustration, "And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand." Here's what I do. I say, "Did you just ask Jesus Christ to come in your heart and save you?" They'll say yes. Then I'll say, "Well, according to that, then neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand." Then you just receive Christ as your Savior. You are safe in the hand of the Lord Jesus Christ. And no man is able to pluck you out of there. Nobody can, including the devil, can take you out of there and send you to hell. Because you are safe and secure in the hand of the Lord Jesus. And then, "My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand." Then I say this, not only are you safe and secure in the hand of the Lord Jesus, but God the Father's got his hand around the whole thing. And nobody's able to pluck them out of there. And as I'm doing this, of course, I'm squeezing my pen here pretty hard, and I'll say, "Take a hold of that, see if you can pull that out of there." Now, there might be some weightlifter somewhere one of these days that'll yank it right out of there. But, you know, the normal person, if you're holding on to it like that, they're not going to be able to pull that out of there. And I say it's a fickle illustration because somebody might be able to pull it out, okay? But this is just a way for them to understand. You can understand this right here. I'm secure. Jesus Christ saved me, and God the Father put his hand around the whole thing. And I'm in there, and nobody, including the devil, can pluck me out of his hand. And that's just an illustration, a simple little illustration to show people what that verse right there is teaching. And so we'll start with that, okay? And again, the Bible says there that "I give unto them eternal life." That's life that continues forever, and they shall never perish. Never perish. They will, and I explain this. The Bible says right there that you have eternal life. Life that's going to last forever. I say that even though that's the definition of everlasting life. And it's life that will last and it will not ever have an interruption in it. And then I say the Bible says that you'll never perish. That means you will never, ever, ever have to go to hell and perish in hell. And again, if there's no other verses that teach eternal security, those verses right there are sufficient. But there are a lot of verses that teach eternal security. Now, this is an important subject because, again, us as Baptists, I know there's some Baptists that don't believe like the rest of the Baptists do, but as a whole, the Baptists believe in the security of the believer. I don't have to wake up tomorrow morning wondering whether I'm saved or not. And I don't have to go through my life hoping that what I did was good enough to take me to heaven, but waiting on death and getting to the other side to find out for sure. Well, I'd hate to live like that, wouldn't you? Man, that'd be terrible. Well, God doesn't want us to live like that. And again, you know, some people that don't acknowledge this doctrine here, it's because they don't understand it. Some people that say that there's no such thing as eternal life, it's just because they don't believe the Word of God. Dr. Ironside, Harry Ironside, he gave an illustration one time, and let me just read it to you here so I don't mess it up. Harry Ironside told of a lady who approached him after he had preached on John 5:24. And we're going to read that in a minute, but that's a verse about eternal security. Disagreeing with him on the subject of eternal security, he took his Bible and offered to help her, and she said, "I know where you're going to turn to, John 10:28-29, which is what we just read. He turned there and read the verses, and she said, "I don't believe them like you believe them," regarding the words eternal life. He then read the verse 28, replacing the word eternal with 10 years. So in other words, he read the verse, "And I give unto them 10 years, and they shall never perish." And he put that in there. She seemed to know that that meant 10 years. She understood that 10 years. He read it again using 40 years. And she again understood it to mean what it said. He then read the verse like this. And I give unto them eternal life as long as they are faithful. She replied, now that's what I believe. But, Ironside said, that's not what it says. He reread the verse and asked her, how long does that mean? She answered, as long as they remain his sheep. Ironside said the lady walked away rejecting the clear truth of God's word. That's not what it says. It doesn't say that we have eternal life as long as we remain his sheep. That's not what it says. It says, and I give unto them eternal life. That's what it says. And they shall never perish. That's what it says. So there are people that are confused about this, and we want to help those people. We genuinely want to help those people. But then there are people that, again, when you show them the Word of God, it don't matter. They've got their mind made up, and it does not matter what the Bible says. They're not going to believe it. We can't help those people. And one of the things that I ask people when I'm talking to them about salvation is I ask them whether they believe the Bible is the Word of God. Now, most people will say, yes, I do. And I don't go into all the King James Version and all that. I don't go into all that when they... And by the way, let me just say this. I do believe the King James Version is the Word of God. But there are people that say this. There are people that say, unless a person is saved, unless a person has trusted Christ as their Savior, and the King James Version was the version they used to do that, unless they did that, they're not saved. That is baloney. That's exactly right. I do not believe that. I don't use the modern translations, and you understand that. I've talked about that. But I do know this. There is enough of the Word of God in some of those other translations that a person could get saved by reading that. The truth is, in the Catholic Bible, there is enough of the Word of God in the Catholic Bible that you actually could take a person's Catholic Bible and you could lead them to Christ, okay? So I just want you to understand that. If somebody got saved using the NIV or the New American Standard, I'm not going to say that they're not saved because they didn't have a King James Bible. I'm not going to say that, okay? I don't believe that, all right? Matter of fact, when I got saved, I didn't believe about the King James Bible what I believe now. Amen? I didn't know all that. I didn't know that. But I just wanted to mention that. But the truth is there are people that deny or reject the clear Word of God. And if they reject the Word of God, we can't help them. And I was saying that I asked people, do you believe the Bible is the Word of God? Most people are going to say, yes, I do. And even if they're really not familiar with it, and I understand that as we get further into the last days, there are a lot of people that don't have any idea what the Bible says. But most people in America have at least heard of it. And most people, and again, I understand there are people, I've talked to them, that don't have a clue what the Bible says. But at least most people have an understanding that the Bible is supposed to be the Word of God. Okay? But I say that because every once in a while you're going to have somebody say this. No, I don't. Well, if they don't believe the Bible is the Word of God, then there's really no need in continuing the conversation. Because if they don't even believe it, they're not going to admit that they're a sinner and they're not going to admit their need for a Savior. And so we're just wasting our time. We understand that the Holy Spirit of God is the one that has to do the convicting. And if they won't believe what he said, then what we need to do is I'll try to get them to take the tract, or I'll try to get them to take our outreach card and just keep it. A lot of times people say, oh, I already go somewhere else. And I'll say, hey, that's okay. Just go ahead and keep that. And most of the time they will. And then I will try to leave the door open and be nice. Amen. So that way, maybe one of these days we can have the opportunity to tell them about the Lord. But we want to help those that are confused about this subject. And so tonight we're just going to go through here. I don't know that we're going to get through all of this, but again, we're not in a hurry. So this is a very, very important doctrine. and it's one of the most abused and misunderstood doctrines in the whole Bible. Here's one of the things. This is one of the main things that people that do not believe in eternal security say about us as Baptists, especially that do believe this. Here's what they say. If I believed what you believe about not losing your salvation, I would go out and live any way I wanted to. That's what they say. They say, if I believe that doctrine of eternal security and I could go do whatever I want and still be secure, I'd go live however I want to live. Well, the truth is, we do believe in eternal security, and there are other doctrines in the Bible that we do believe, talking about the chastisement of God and the judgment of God and the fear of God and the fact that if you love God, you're supposed to keep His commandments. We do believe in this, but this does not make us want to go out and live however we want to live. This makes us want to live to please the Lord because of what He did for us and that we do have that eternal security. Amen? And so that's one of the main things that people are going to say. But again, the reality is just the opposite. We're not going to go out. We're not going to want to use that to go out and live however we want to live. So let's just take a journey through God's word here. We'll start in the book of John, chapter number 1. And let's just see what the Bible says. And if you don't have a Bible, there should be one somewhere around you there underneath a chair. And if you don't, if you can't find the verses, that's okay. I'm going to go through here pretty quickly. If you can't find these verses as fast as I read them, then don't worry about that. I'll just read them and you can just listen, okay? But John chapter number 1, verse 11. And I'm just going to go through here and read a lot of verses tonight, and then we'll look at some conclusions from all these verses that we read. John 1, verse 11. It says, He came unto His own, and His own received Him not. Now he's talking about the Jews there. Jesus Christ came to the Jews and they didn't receive Him. But as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. January 23rd, 1979, I believed on the name of Jesus Christ, and I was born again into that family. I became the family of God. I became a son of God. I became a member of the family. Now, let me ask you a question. Our children that are born unto us, can they ever be unborn? No. They might change their name. They might not want to have anything to do with us. They might move on the other side of the world, never talk to us again. But the fact is, they're still our son or our daughter, and there's nothing they can do about that. When we get born into the family of God, you can't get unborn. I mean, you can't get kicked out. Amen? And I'm glad about that. And again, that's just a human illustration. But the truth is, when we do receive Christ as our Savior, we do become sons of God, the Bible says. Okay, so let me see here. Verse 13, which were born, let me read verse 12 again. But as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. So when we believe in Jesus Christ and we accept Him as our Savior, we are born of God. That new birth that takes place is of God. It's a spiritual birth. John chapter number 3, verses 3 through 7. The conversation here with Nicodemus. John chapter 3, verse 3 through 7. The Bible says, Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto them, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. This new birth is a birth of the Spirit. and it's accomplished by the Holy Spirit. And the Bible says that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. So it is a new birth, and it takes place by the Holy Spirit of God. So we are born again by trusting Jesus as our Savior, and that all takes place by the Holy Spirit of God, the Bible says. All right, so that's the kind of birth it is. It's not a fleshly, physical birth. It is a spiritual birth that takes place by the Holy Spirit of God. All right? John chapter 3, verse 15 and 16. Well, let's look at verse 14. John 3, 14. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. That's that life that continues without interruption. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So there the Lord uses both of those words, eternal and everlasting. It's life that continues without interruption, and it's life that lasts forever. Amen? Forever. And here Jesus states clearly that salvation is a whosoever matter. Now again, there's people that say that, you know, God elected some to go to heaven and some to go to hell. The Bible teaches election, but not that way. That's not what the Bible teaches. The Bible says in 1 Timothy 2, 4, who will have all men to be saved and come unto the knowledge of the truth. And again, right here, he says, for whosoever believeth in him. That means anybody. Jesus Christ died for the whole world. He did not just pick out a group that he said, all right, all these folks are going to heaven and all these folks are not going to heaven. And that crowd that believes that, they teach that Jesus Christ, I've talked to them personally, and they've told me, I don't believe Jesus died for the whole world. I only believe that he died for that group that he elected. That's not what the Bible says. The Bible says that God so loved the world, period. That's what it says. And when people get in trouble is when they start trying to add to the Word of God or take away from the Word of God. Just believe what the Bible says and take it at face value. And you're going to have a lot less confusion in your life. Salvation is a whosoever matter. And believing in Christ accomplishes two things. It removes the sentence of perishing. We will never perish. That means we're not going to die and go to hell. And it promises eternal and everlasting life. So that's exactly and very clearly what Jesus teaches about salvation. It's for whosoever, and it removes the sentence of perishing, that whosoever believes in him should not perish. When you trust Christ as your Savior, you're not going to perish. You're going to receive eternal, everlasting life. Okay, so that's exactly what it says. John chapter 5, verse 24. This is the verse that Brother Ironside was using or preaching on that night when that incident happened. John 5, 24. Another great verse to show people about eternal security. Verily, verily. And again, those words verily, verily mean truly, truly. I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Now that's an amazing verse. When a person repents of their sins and trusts Christ as their Savior, at that moment, the Bible says they passed from death unto life. And also this verse teaches that this everlasting life is a present tense life. It does not say, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me shall have everlasting life. That's future. It says hath. That's right now. Present. Right now. I have everlasting life. I have a life that if I drop dead right now, my life, it's going to continue on, that everlasting life I have. And if I were to drop dead right now, I hope I don't, but if I do, then by the time you get up here and you check me and find out I'm dead, I'm already going to be in heaven. And I'm going to be alive there. D.L. Moody said this. One of these days you're going to hear that D.L. Moody is dead. He said, don't you believe a word of it. Because when you hear that news, I'll be more alive than I ever have been in my whole life. Amen. We have everlasting life. We have eternal life. The Catholic Church says you go to purgatory and you spend time there. It's like a limbo spot. Purgatory is not in the Bible. You have eternal life. Life that is going to continue without interruption. And we have everlasting life. Life that is going to last forever. I always tell people this, and I ask them as I'm going through these verses. Now, the Bible says you have what? They'll say, everlasting life. I'll say, how long does that last? They'll say, forever. So I say, so if you die tomorrow, where are you going to go? Heaven. If you die next week, where are you going to go? Heaven. If you die next month, where are you going to go? Heaven. If you die next year, where are you going to go? Heaven. If you die 10 years from now, where are you going? Heaven. Why? And sometimes you have to kind of help them along. Because you have everlasting life. And how long does that last? Forever. And if you'll help them with this, and you'll get it established that they have everlasting life, it's going to really help them. And it's going to help them when the devil tries to come and attack them with the doubts. Okay? And again, folks, look. This book right here will take care of our doubts. And you know, in our lifetime, I'm sure there's going to be things that we're going to doubt. There might be times in your life that are dark and dreary. And boy, I mean, you don't look like you're ever going to see the end of the light of the tunnel out there. And you think, and you just doubt like David did in the scriptures, that if God is even there. David did, and he was a man after God's own heart. And it was as if David was saying it was as if he couldn't even find God. It was as if God wasn't even there. But was God there? Of course he was. So when those doubts come, even though things might look bad, whatever situation, trial, whatever your situation is, if you read this book right here, then it's going to get you through that time. It might not look like God is around, but you read this book and it tells us that he's there. And it tells us that he knows. Psalms chapter 1 verse 6 is one of my favorite verses in the whole Bible. And here's what it says. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. That word knoweth means that he is familiar with, that he is acquainted with. And the word way there means the path. Or the journey, or the course that you're on. In other words, what the Bible is saying is this. For the Lord is acquainted with the journey that you're on. For the Lord is acquainted with that path of life that you're traveling. He is familiar with your situation. Now that's a comfort. Amen. And that comes because I believe what the Bible says. And that brings comfort. So, we believe what the Bible says about eternal security. And in this John 5:24, the whole scope of salvation is seen here. A man hears the word of God. A man believes on him that sent me. A man has a present tense everlasting life and also has a future tense assurance of no condemnation. And at the moment of salvation is passed from death to life. That's one of the greatest verses in the whole Bible right there. John 5:24. Man, what a verse. I passed from death unto life, January 23rd, 1979. I went from going to hell to going to heaven in an instant on that day when with all my heart I repented of my sin and I invited Jesus in to come and be my Savior. And boy, I'm glad about that. Amen. That's exciting. And many times we forget about what the Lord's done for us. Hey, folks, we passed from death unto life. We're not going to hell anymore. You could swing over hell on a spider web and not have to worry about it burning and you dropping in. Because you got everlasting, eternal life. Amen? And I've said this before, but it's the truth. The only thing I'm ever going to know about hell is what I read in the Bible because I'm not going there. Why? Because I've trusted Christ as my Savior and I passed from death unto life. If you're here And I don't know, you know, everybody gives a testimony that you've been saved, but if you truly don't know the Lord as your personal Savior, then, boy, you need to settle that matter. And you need to accept Christ as your Savior so that you too can pass from death unto life. Because if you die without Christ, then you go to hell, the Bible says, without Christ. So, let's look at some more scriptures. We're not going to get through all these tonight, but that's okay. Again, I'm not going to hurry through them. John chapter 6, 37 through 40. John chapter 6, verses 37 through 40. And we talked about this a couple of Sundays ago when we talked about that bread of life message. But the Lord said there, John 6:37, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. For I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will which hath sent me, that of all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. As I'm talking to people and I'm reading those verses there, I will say this. Did you ask the Lord? Did you believe on the Lord and ask him to come in your heart? Or I'll say, did you believe what the Scripture teaches and ask Jesus to come in your heart? And they'll say, yes. And I'll say, according to the Bible, then, what kind of life do you have? And I'll point to it like this. And I don't usually, this is just some advice I've learned over the years. You can tell, you know, sometimes you tell if people can't read or not. Most people can, but some people can't. So I learned a long time ago not to say, read that right there for me. Because sometimes they can't read and they get embarrassed. I don't want to embarrass them. So I'll just read it for them. I'll say, the Bible says, may have everlasting life. So what kind of life did you get when you believed on the Lord and asked him to come in your heart? Everlasting life. How long does that last? Forever? I'll say then again, if you were to die next week, where are you going? Heaven. Die next year, where are you going? Same thing. You say, that takes a while. Yeah, it takes a while. This 1, 2, 3, pray after me stuff is not true. Now, I know that folks can get saved quickly. I understand that. But I know people, and I've talked about that, but people just go out and it's a 1, 2, 3, pray after me, and they have 10,000 people saved, and, you know, they run 20 in their church for the next 20 years. Well, you know, you want to go to heaven? Sure, I do. Well, pray this prayer. Well, that's not salvation. Salvation is repentance and faith. And then you have to take time to go through this. Normally, it takes me about 45 minutes, normally, to go through the plan of salvation, because I want to make sure that they understand what they're doing. Do you understand that we could, maybe if we tried to hurry through this, we could get them to pray a prayer and they not even mean it, and they could really think that they did mean it, and they could die and go to hell because they never trusted Christ as their Savior? Well, I'd hate to have their blood on my hands, so I want to go through it. I want to question them. And again, if you're going through this and you can see that they're just not getting it, they're not believing it, then, you know, we are supposed to be led by the Holy Spirit of God. And there's been many times when I've said, I tell you what we'll do. Let me just leave that little gospel track with you. And maybe at a later time, I can come back when we have a little bit more time. And we can kind of go through the scriptures a little bit more in detail. And maybe you can understand it just a little bit better. Because there's no need to try to force them to do something. I don't want to just come back and say, yeah, I had this many people pray or whatever. I'm not interested in that. I'm interested in people truly getting born again. Amen. So we'll just look here at these verses. Well, that verse right there, it says Jesus states that those that the Father gives him, number one, will never be cast out. Number two, never be lost. It says nothing should be, it should lose nothing. And shall one of these days have a resurrection. There's a resurrection coming one of these days for all those that are dead in Christ. Bible teaches there's two resurrections that are going to take place. One of those for the saved and one of those for the not saved. Okay? Two resurrections. The Bible says, blessed is he that hath part in the first resurrection. That's the one I'm going to be in. That's the one you're going to be in if you trusted Christ as your Savior. That second resurrection is not for those that have trusted Christ as their Savior. Okay? But this verse right here teaches that what the Father gives Christ will never be cast out, that he will never be lost. Christ is not going to lose anything. It says of all that which thou hast given me, I should lose nothing. Now listen, folks, if you could lose your salvation, then he would have lost somebody, wouldn't he? If he just lost one person, if he lost one boy, one girl, one man, one woman, then that verse is not true. So if it is possible for a person to lose their salvation when they have truly been born again, then that verse is a lie. And if that verse is a lie, I wonder what other ones are a lie. And we're wasting our Sunday evening here tonight if that's not true. But the truth is, he's never lost one. Nobody's ever lost their salvation. Nobody's ever going to. Amen? And listen, folks, these are Bible verses that show us what the Bible says, what God said about this doctrine of eternal security. I am eternally secure in Jesus Christ because I have truly accepted him, turned from my sin. And again, that repentance, we'll talk about the doctrine of repentance. That doesn't mean that you become perfect, and it doesn't mean that you're never going to sin again. But the best I knew how, I realized I was a sinner. And my sin put Christ on the cross, and I was sorry for that. And I wanted to turn from that sin and live for him the best I could. That's repentance. And then I asked him to come into my heart and be my Savior. And because of that, I passed from death unto life. And the Bible says that he is not going to lose anything. Amen? He's not going to lose me. I'm eternally secure in Christ tonight. And if you've trusted Christ as your Savior, so are you. Amen? Now that ought to get you excited tonight. I'm going to have, we started a little bit early on the message, so we'll go ahead and quit now. And I've got a lot more verses that we're going to look at, but this is a very important doctrine. And I want you, as your pastor, I want you to understand this doctrine of eternal security. And I want you to understand what the Bible teaches so that you can help others. There's a lot of people that are confused about this. And you'll have the opportunity to take the scriptures and say, let me show you what the Bible says. And then you can help them. I'll ask Miss Vicki to come and play. And as we bow our heads and close our eyes, let me just ask you this. Do you know for sure that if you were to die tonight, you'd go to heaven? Has there ever been a time in your life that you can go back to and say, I remember turning from my sin? And again, you know, there's not a certain formula you have to say, but you can go back to that time in your life and you can say, this is the time when I trusted Christ as my Savior. If you can't go back to a time and say, this is when I was saved, I trusted Christ as my Savior, then what you ought to do is settle that matter and ask the Lord to come in your heart and save you. As Ms. Vicki starts to play, every head bowed.